I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. And some of you are called on today. Today is primary day. I have said, if you go back and listen to the last 5 years of my show, I have said repeatedly that the primaries are probably the most important elections for people that actually want any level of change whatsoever. I know there are a lot of disaffected Republicans, disaffected Democrats as well. You may want to take the Democrat Party in a weird way, but I know a lot of people are not happy with the leadership of these parties. And if you want to lash out at that, this is your only chance to do it. Because, look, we all know whoever wins Republican primaries in Mississippi, except for Benny Thompson's district, that person goes to Congress. There's really not much doubt about it. Today is essentially the general election for, around us here, the 3rd Congressional District with Michael Guest. Mississippians are terrible at breaking free of political chains. We have allowed the Mississippi Republican Party to deny you the vote, an open Senate seat, for 40, maybe 42 years now. 42 years since they have left a Senate seat with a retiring senator, and they're just allowing people to duke it out for an open Senate seat. They have pulled the Mississippi shuffle, as I call it, where they allow one person to retire midterm, they appoint somebody, and that person runs as an incumbent, thus just about guaranteeing they get into office just long enough to pay off the donor class, so the donor class floods them with money, and then they handily win the general elections. I like Michael Guest as a person. Knew him, haven't been around him in a long time, but he seems like a nice guy. But he is the establishment candidate, and we are about to find out just exactly how establishment Central Mississippi is. We've had Michael Cassidy on this station many times. I like him. I'd like him to be far more radical on things like taxes, the Federal Reserve, the empire that we've built around the world. But I think it is important to start chopping the wood of the establishment Republican Party. If nothing else, even if you don't know much about challengers to any incumbent anywhere at any time, unless you were blown away by the performance of that incumbent, I think it's important to go out and make a protest vote at the very least and just vote for somebody else. You know, I'm somebody who believes the country would be much better if everybody. Problem is, you kind of have to have both parties let go at the same time. Just switched their voter registration to independent. Make them actually work for you. Like, the Republican Party looks out over the landscape. They see how many registered Republicans they are. They know that it doesn't matter who they put up, they can scare you that a Democrat's going to win if you don't hold your nose and vote for their candidate, and it works every single time. Wouldn't it be nice to have a candidate that maybe you actually liked, that you didn't have to hold your nose for when it comes to the general election? Well, this is your chance. You know, I was listening to my progressive brother from another mother, Jimmy Dore, this morning. He's a comedian, very left-leaning guy. I disagree with him on a whole lot of issues, but he's honest. He's better than about 95% of the people, because when facts change, he changes his mind. This is a guy that lined up to get the shot, had an adverse reaction, saw the reaction to his just talking about what happened to him, how the left just was sicked upon him. And he started realizing the insanity of the left, and he pretty much down the check marks, he's seeing the insanity that his side had, and he's exposing it. He's getting a lot of slings and arrows from leftists because he will challenge Joe Biden. He even challenges the squad. He was a big fan of the squad. Now, this is why I say I would disagree with him on a ton of things, but he realizes he got sold out. I know a lot of Republicans that still, to this day, cling to politicians not realizing they've been sold out. More on that later. But Jimmy Dore had a guest on, a guest I would really disagree with. It's this guy, Richard Wolff. He's a professor. I think I've read some things by him that are really terrible, but they were having a conversation. And, you know, Jimmy Dore was asking, why are Americans putting up with this stuff? And he was talking mostly about inflation, and they were breaking down Joe Biden's speech that we covered a couple of days ago, or maybe that was yesterday, where he just came out and said, don't pay attention to your own eyes. You're doing great, Joe Biden says. The American family is out there saving tons of money, and they've never been so optimistic about the future. And Jimmy Dore and his guests were just incredulous that Joe Biden would come out there and say this to the people. But Jimmy Dore was asking, why are Americans putting up with this stuff? And his guest said, he said, I think Americans are kind of like deer in the headlights. They're paralyzed and they don't know what to do. And that may be the case, but I got to tell you, in this deer in the headlights scenario, people like me, when it comes to the economy, free market, libertarians, we've been sitting on the side of the road in a nice comfy chair, just whittling and calling to you deer in the street going, hey, you see those two lights down there? That's a car coming. And we've been ignored, and we say, hey, see those lights? Those two lights, they're getting a little bit brighter. That's a car. It's heading forward. You might want to get out of the road, or you might want to stop that car. Most Americans just sitting out there chewing cud. 30% of the people thought the car would never get to them because they voted for Trump. 30% of the people thought the car would never hit them because the government loves them and they'll make it okay. And about 35% of the people didn't even know they were standing in the road. But about 5% of us were out there warning you to get out of the road, or better yet, stop that car that's careening towards you. And it is coming. what do they say? I see a bright light. It's an approaching train. I want to say here, too, I've talked, when it comes to inflation and these kinds of things, it is the responsibility of the Federal Reserve, who printed up money for a government that is completely out of control. Another reason that you should go to the polls today, just to send a message, we're not doing this anymore. Michael Guest voted to send Ukraine $54 billion. As did Stephen Palazzo, as did Trent Kelly, your stalwart Republicans here, those fiscally conservative Republicans that you sent to Washington, D.C., all voted to send this money to Ukraine, and I'm sure it's not the worst of the votes that they have made when it comes to massive spending. But I've told you there's really only two paths that we go down now, and we're the people above our pay grade are making that decision right now. They're trying to decide, do we let inflation run away and become hyperinflation? We'll really, really crush the bottom 99%. Or do they try to tame inflation by raising interest rates and crush the economy and the stock market along with it? Well, I've told you that they will pretend to fight inflation, and then they will whiff. They won't do it. And the stories are already out now. They've only raised a half a percentage point. Well, I guess 3/4 of a percentage point now, a 25 basis point rise, and then a 50 basis point hike. Here's the story that came out yesterday. With half point interest rate increases all but certain in June and July, Federal Reserve officials are shifting the focus away from a destination on hikes to something that's trickier to determine and explain: the broader impact of their policies on the economy. At the start of the hiking cycle, Chair Jerome Powell said the goal was, quote, getting rates back up to more neutral rates as quickly as we possibly can. In May, however, he walked back from the concept of neutral, meaning he's walking back from this idea that they're going to raise rates aggressively to tamp down inflation, because they know what is going to happen if they raise interest rates. They have got us addicted to debt in this country, and they know that any increases in interest rates will cripple this country. It will cripple the average consumer that has also been convinced to load themselves down with debt. So they're already making signals to say, hey, well, maybe we were a little severe in our ideas. They're talking about raising rates up to 2%, and then backtracking, taking a pause in September. When inflation is running at 8%, they need 12% interest rates at least to actually stop inflation. They are scared to get to 2%. So for all the deer that are still out there standing in the highways, thinking that Trump's going to come back and save you, that the 2022 elections are going to come and save you, for all the Democrats out there that think the government loves you and they'll just send you more checks, each one of those checks they send you is going to be worth less and less and less in purchasing power because it is those checks that caused the inflation in the first place. I hope you enjoyed your $1,200 2 years ago. But they are not going to allow this thing. They're not going to allow this thing to derail what are supposedly good economic numbers by creating a deep recession or depression. So we will end up with a currency crisis, a hyperinflation that will take us all down a peg. And I would imagine this will lead to that central bank digital currency that they want, which may be part of their plan in the first place. And I can guarantee you, a quick prediction here, it may take 5, 10, 20 years to play out. Remember, you heard it here. They will make sure that even that, the digital central bank digital currency will end up being a mess and a catastrophe for 99.9% of the population that it will keep under heel. I guess we can say, at least we're not Poland. Check this out. Poland right now is struggling with their energy needs. They're talking about, in this story, is it still cold in Poland right now? I need to look at the, I guess that would be the latitude, wouldn't it? Of Poland and see where they are, but the story read, with millions of refugees surging across the border from Ukraine and energy prices at recorder and recorder highs, it appears the Polish government has changed its mind on smog and climate change as it reminded citizens on Friday they can forage firewood from forests to keep warm. I've got a little bit of, we're going to do some Tech Tuesday today, and I've got a story. Poland is part of this push to the green economy, and they have actually stopped their citizens from using their own coal or burning wood or anything like that. And I'll tell you the technology they use to police that. But they're backtracking on that now that they've cut off Russian gas, and I guess their people are cold or need energy for something. The government said it was taking steps to make it easier for people to collect firewood in an effort to ease the pressure created by skyrocketing energy bills and shortages of coal. The Deputy Climate and Energy Minister, Edward Sajarka, said this. He said, quote, "It is always possible, with the consent of the foresters, to collect branches for fuel." Oh, man. I think it was the guy in France who told people, oh, shut up and put on a sweater, as energy prices were spiking there. But the story goes on just to show you, you know, the bureaucratic class. They are to be opposed in every nation on planet Earth. Obviously, they're just as bad in Poland as they are here. However, it's not quite as easy as wandering into the forest with your axe. The Polish government demands that those wishing to gather wood must first undergo training and obtain permission from the local forestry unit. Additionally, they went on to clarify that people can only take branches already lying on the ground and cannot cut down trees. Quote, only branches can be gathered. At the same time, the collected branches cannot be thicker than 7 centimeters. This is from Katowice Dictoriate. That can't be a name. That must not. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a, yeah, it's the Directorate of State Forestry official. His name is Marek Mraz. Only branches can be gathered. At the same time, the collected branches cannot be thicker than 7 centimeters. Look. I'm a libertarian. I'm proud of that fact because I'm so much quicker to the game. Governments hate you. Your government hates you. As a matter of fact, I may call an audible today. This what's this guy's? Yuval Harari, something like that. Has done some more speaking. He's one of these globalist guys, an advisor to Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum. I played a clip last week or week before about him, what they were going to do with the useless eaters, the useless people, actually. I believe he referred to it. He said, they really are, they're just, what are we going to do with this useless class? And I believe he recommended video games and sports ball. I should play parts of his thing here because governments hate you. This is why they do what they do to you Democrats out there who think you're part of the club because the government will send you a check. I don't care if it's monthly or a stimmy check. Then they're going to send out more checks. Or if they forgive some of your student loans, the government still hates you. Look at what's happening around you. Your government hates you. You're an inconvenience to the government at best. And Charles Hugh Smith, one of my favorite kind of bloggers, wrote a great article. I guess I'll get to that next, of what the next stage that we're going to see is. And it's the pay-to-play model. You can already see this arising around the country. I'll explain exactly what that is when we come back. It's pay-to-play. It's the next step in our obvious evolution to just absolute contempt for anybody under the top 0.1% by our government.
Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the wise side of reason. But they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason.
Yeah, I think the rest of this show goes out to all the useless people out there. I mean, I'm one of you. Don't think I'm judging you. I'm a useless person. We're going to listen to, I found these clips from Yuval Noah Harari. He is an advisor to the World Economic Forum. But my point is, and I guess my show is going to take on this thing, look, your government hates you. This is why, you know, Clay sent out something, Clay Edwards sent me some statistics yesterday about all the deaths from different things and the deaths from, you know, mass shootings. They barely register. As tragic as they are, of all the things affecting us, these aren't them. They're coming for your guns because the government hates you. Now, a lot of people think that their party loves them and they're going to protect you. They're not. I've actually got more stories about that. I ran across a story and the title of it was great clickbait for me. It says, "Elections won't fix anything." Now, I'm not saying don't vote. I think today you need to send a message to the Republican Party, in my opinion. And I'm even, you know, I'm almost a little sorry that, you know, I'm not a fan of what Michael Guest has done in Congress because it's very vanilla, very typical Mississippi, go up and play the establishment Republican game. That's what Mississippi people do. That's what Cindy Hyde Smith's doing. That's what Roger Wicker does. And Michael Guest has just fit right into it. But this is what Mississippians have trained the Mississippi Republican Party to put up for you. You've put up with this for decades. Put up vanilla people with no real core values of anything except whatever leadership tells them to do. And so when you look at leadership like a Mitch McConnell or a Paul Ryan or whoever it is, and you're unhappy with them, just understand that they are the ones running the show. Your vote, I mean, you got them up to Congress, but you don't call the shots anymore. Party leadership calls the shots, and it's time for Mississippi to stand up and say, you're not going to keep giving us these people that you choose. But as we talk about kind of where we're headed, this Charles Hugh Smith had written this piece. I can't remember the title of it. I don't have it up in front of me, but he was talking about the pay-to-play system as being kind of the next step we're headed at. And what it is, if you think about it, it's already started. You know, if you don't want, and again, my theme is the government hates you. That's why they treat you like a suspect every time you try to board a plane. What do they do? What's the process for travel now? The process is you book a flight that's very, very expensive because the government has done all kinds of things around the oil and gas and regulations on the airlines and everything else. You pay this huge price for a flight, and there's a very high likelihood that plane could be canceled. There was somebody from Memorial Day weekend that their flight was postponed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They came on the intercom at midnight and said, "We've canceled the flight." They could have gone and gotten a hotel or something. Instead, they stayed around the airport waiting for this flight to board. And instead, they waited for 9 hours, and then they just said it's canceled. But you buy an overpriced ticket, you get to the airport, you wait in lines, sometimes hours long. And your treat for this hours-long wait is that a government employee will either scattershot you with x-rays, because, see, you're a suspect. To them, you're an annoyance that they even have to allow you to travel. But if they're gonna allow you to travel, they're at least going to treat you poorly on the way. They treat everybody like a terrorist suspect. They either put you through the, through the scanner. If you're lucky, that only affects your health. If you're not lucky, one of the blue shirts may actually pull you out of the line for a up-close-and-personal Joe Biden molesting. Then you get to your gate, where you may sit for hours and hours. Should you get on your plane, there's a good possibility you could sit on the tarmac for 8 hours with no air conditioning or running toilets. But they've got a solution to this. Now, TSA has rolled out, what is it called? The Preferred Traveler Program. See, this is the pay-to-play. Basic government services now are almost completely inefficient to where they're just nothing but an aggravation. They don't do anything. They're not necessary, but they force you into all these lines and all of these processes to play by all of these rules. But for a fee, they'll give you the preferred traveler or trusted traveler. I don't know how much this thing is. It's $200, maybe something like that. And if you submit just about everything to them, a urine sample, a stool sample, give them your entire life history and access to your social media, maybe they'll let you avoid the three-hour line, and you can go into only the 30-minute line. You see what I'm saying? All of these things, these pay-to-plays. If you don't want to wait months for medical care, well, maybe if you've got the money, you can go to some concierge medical practice. But for everybody else, for all us useless people out there, you're going to sit in waiting rooms. You're going to be priced out of any level of insurance, so you're going to have to go to some public institution. And if the Democrats, and really Republicans, have been big about socializing medicine too. I hadn't heard a Republican talk about getting rid of Medicare and Medicaid in 30 years because they know that old people will get out to vote for them. Gives them a sense of purpose for that day, so they don't dare take a Benny. As a matter of fact, they passed Medicare Part D, the biggest entitlement since LBJ, to please the senior citizens at the expense of our children who are forced to pay for these trillions of dollars of money funneled to Big Pharma. But you can always, if you've got some money, then you'll get some decent medical care. You can get a concierge doctor. Now, I don't blame some doctors for setting these kinds of practices up. They're able to actually charge a fee. I'm a capitalist guy. They charge a fee. You have access to a doctor. You can call him. You get longer appointments. You get specific appointments. But for the rest of the useless people, you just go try to access your medical care. You got an insurance with a $10,000 deductible, so everything is out of pocket every year, save the fact you're in some kind of horrific car accident or have a heart attack. Then maybe, just maybe, we're not making any guarantees, maybe insurance kicks in just a tad. And so what used to be just basic government services will continue to be more and more difficult to obtain, even though it's a service that you already pay for with your taxes. Everything is going to be the DMV, unless you pay a fee. The useless people will be corralled into these things. Only the wealthy will be allowed to escape the bureaucratic mess for a fee. The rest of us will be in lines, on hold, waiting for next to nothing. You want to get a building permit issued? You want to get a building inspection? That'll be 4 months, unless you want to pay a fee. And ultimately, I think this ends up in Elysium. Was that the Matt Damon movie? Matt Damon movie? They had that big circle up in the sky. And look, you hadn't tuned into some radical leftist show that wants to eat the rich, and I just don't like anybody who's successful. I cheer for anybody who made an honest living and went from working a plumbing gig out of the back of his F-150 up to having 18 trucks and 35 employees out there, and the guy's now making $1 million living the good life. God love you. But these people at the top, the people that are creating this system, they hadn't earned an honest day's living for most of their lives. Joe Biden's never worked a job. Most of these people have never worked a job. So we'll come back, right? I didn't plan on doing this, and it's been a little while since I listened to it, but this Yuval Noah Harari has come out, and you know he's this guy kind of looking into the future, and I'm not sure why he's not ashamed to say these things, but he may be just so insulated and so out of touch that he feels completely at ease just telling you exactly what's in store for you useless people, and he calls us. I'm not judging anybody. I'm one of you. I'm a useless person too, to them. And I intend to be as useless to them as possible, as completely out of their sphere of influence as possible. I try to shrink myself when it comes to these petty tyrants. I want no dealings with them. I don't want to be on the radar. I don't want to have any interaction with them whatsoever if I can avoid it. This is where I believe civil disobedience will be making a comeback, even on the right, at some time soon. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll listen to this nut job tell you what the future holds. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. I can already feel that this show is going to slip into one of those things that I'm going to get the accusations of, boy, you did a dark show today. Well, in my previous example of the deer in the headlights, which was the explanation by this guy in this Jimmy Dore podcast that people just don't know what to do. The reason they're putting up with it is because they don't know what to do. They're like a deer in the headlights. I'm on the side of the road just telling you a car's coming. You can choose to get out of the road. You can choose to unseat incumbent politicians, or maybe at some point Republicans discover things like civil disobedience where they stop this genuflection in front of law and order, assuming that every law in the books is moral and for our own good. It's very Democratic Party of you to believe that all of the laws out there that the government passes are for your own good. Isn't that what the Democrats constantly sell? We're going to force you to take an inoculation because it's for your own good. We're going to put your neighbor into a cage because they grew a plant and smoked it in their backyard by themselves because that is for your own good. The government hates you. None of this stuff is for your own good. I'm just the guy sitting on the side of the road in a fold-out chair, whittling something, telling you, hey, heads up, car's coming. This is a... Yuval, his first name is Y-U-V-A-L, Noah Harari. As I said, he's the advisor to the World Economic Forum. And you should always check out the list of people who attend these things. You might be surprised by some of the attendees. Roger Wicker. Roger Wicker went to the last World Economic Forum. He doesn't care. His rumor is he's not running for re-election anyway. He'll do the Mississippi Shuffle on you, and he'll parachute out into some cushy job and put another vanilla party follower in his place because Mississippians put up with it. But anyway, this is I don't know if this was actually a presentation at the World Economic Forum, but this guy features pretty prominently in that group of the so-called, air quotes here in the studio, elites.
But in the 21st century, there is a good chance that most humans will lose. They are losing their military and economic value. In the military, it's done, it's over. The age of the masses is over. We are no longer in the First World War. You take millions of soldiers, give each one a rifle and run forward. And the same thing perhaps is happening in the economy.
Yeah, see, that was a very interesting point to me. See, you don't really even have value anymore as a meat puppet to put out in globalist wars. I mean, pretty soon they're going to be able to fight these things just with drones and AI. I mean, they've been running these things. What was that, Jade Helm? Big military exercise they ran here in the United States. It was all based around artificial intelligence. There was nobody at the command guiding these troop movements in this drill. Basically, they monitored social media, and AI predicted where trouble may break out. You can just send a bunch of armed drones or the robot dogs with guns or whatever it's going to be. They're not even going to need us to go out and carry their weapons. I mean, if they don't even need us to go out and fight their wars for them, seriously, what value are we? Well, I guess the only other value we'd have is that we can run the machines for them. But even that, as time goes on, they're not going to need us for that either.
Perhaps it's happening in the economy. Maybe the biggest question, I think, of 21st century economics is, what will you need people for, or most people for, in 2050 in the economy? And once people are no longer really necessary, most people, for the military and for the economy, the idea that you will continue to have mass medicine is not so certain.
Oh, yeah, see? We don't need medicines anymore because we're not trying to save people. The quicker you die, the better off for everybody. We don't need you to fight our wars. We can do that with robots and AI now. We don't need you to run the machines. We got that all automated. So maybe we just won't treat that thing. We just won't give you a medicine. Seriously, what good are, I mean, and particularly for you older people. I mean, you may get out before all this really takes place anyway. I'm probably in the crosshairs of this one. Those of us in middle age right now, by the time the robot revolution comes, you're gonna go into a doctor with a broken leg and they're going to go, I'd love to treat you, but the government says your usefulness is really, it's just not worth it. It's just a waste of resources to try to save your life.
In the Middle Ages, you had this image that how does a person die? Suddenly the angel of death appears and touches you on the shoulder and says, come, it's your time has come. And you say, no, give me some more time. And death says, no, you have to come and that's it. This is how you die. And today we don't think like that. People never die because the angel of death comes. They die because the heart stops pumping or because an artery is clogged or because cancerous cells are spreading in the liver or somewhere. These are all technical problems. And in essence, they should have some technical solution. And this way of thinking, I think, is now becoming very dominant in scientific circles and also among the ultra-rich. They are understanding, wait a minute, something is happening here. For the first time in history, if I'm rich enough, maybe I don't have to die. That is optional. Again, and if you think about it from the viewpoint of the poor, it looks terrible because throughout history, death was the great equalizer. The big consolation of the poor throughout history was that, okay, these rich people, they have it good, but they're going to die just like me. But think about a world, say, in 50 years, 100 years, where the poor people continue to die, but the rich people, in addition to all the other things they get, they also get a exemption from death. That's going to bring a lot of anger.
Jeez. Holy cow. Death is just for the little people. And, you know, the thing is as I'm listening to this guy, I just find him really just sickening. But you know, maybe I should just admire him. He is really, he's maybe the most honest guy out there. He's just saying these things out loud. Most of the politicians who make policies, I mean, you know, really. There's so many things that have been done with our country and countries around the world. It's not just the United States, but, you know, we're here. Let's talk about here. They do so many things to really keep our people just at a sustenance level. Particularly when it comes to things like welfare, Social Security. You know, Social Security checks, if they had actually used accurate inflation numbers, you know, they do these cost of living adjustments to Social Security. And it's pretty well recognized that if they had been honest about what inflation had been over the last, I can't remember what it was, 25, 30 years, that Social Security checks right now would be double what they are. But they're not honest about it. They tell you inflation is, you know, 1.1%. So they give you a 1.1% cost of living adjustment when everybody knows costs are going up 4 to 5% in a normal year. See, the government, which wants to keep you at sustenance level, just enough to keep you off the streets. Not really. And again, my theme of the show is your government hates you. Now, we're going to keep sending out these checks. These people, I think if we quit sending those Social Security checks, they're going to get all uppity. They're going to be mad at all of us. So just send them out a little something. Give them a little tiny adjustment. Just anything to get them to sit down and shut up. And that's really what it is. Now, maybe death is only for the little people as well.
After thousands of years, during which humans were the rulers of the world, authority and power will shift away from humans to computers, and most humans will become economically useless and politically powerless. Already today, we are beginning to see the creation of a new class of humans, the useless class. Just as the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century created the new working class, the proletariat, so now the Artificial Intelligence Revolution is beginning to create the useless class.
Well, now, seriously, maybe there's some hope. Maybe Keanu Reeves and the was it Wolsuchowski brothers, who are now apparently the Wolsuchowski sisters, in a weird twist of fate. If the Matrix taught us anything, maybe they'll at least keep us around and harvest our energies to run the computers. I mean, good Lord. If you're still a deer in the headlights, if you think this is dark, I hope my laughter is bringing the mood of the show up, because this is some insane stuff. This is the stuff that's going through their minds. And this is why the government doesn't care about you. You're a nuisance. They just haven't really figured out exactly what to do with you yet. But I think they're working on it. All right, I'm just trying to wake up the deer in the streets. I don't want you to have that look on your face when the headlights are right there on you. I want you to be prepared. You know, I've noticed you can get this show on podcast. You can go to The Mike Madison Show pretty much on most streaming things and find it somewhere. But I've noticed my podcast numbers are down a little bit. Now, I did a couple of reruns, and I don't post a podcast when I redo a show. I have had to do, I think, two. I tend to not do any reruns, but I've had to. I had to be out for a couple of days, and so that accounts for some of it. But it may be that people, you know, ignorance is bliss. I will say, you know, God love them if we're all going to go through the same stuff, no matter how hard we struggle against it, which I don't believe. Look, you've got a day today, you can go do something. You can put the Republican Party back a peg and say, no, we're in charge, not you. You don't pick our candidates. You don't get to just keep your people up there for forever. You can go and unseat one of the three congressional Republicans that all voted to send $54 billion to Ukraine, that have voted for these massive budgets, that only pretend to oppose spending when they're in the minority, and when they're in the majority, they spend just as much, if not more. So you can go do something today. It's actually a day you can, well, there's something you can go do. I didn't even gotten to my quotes of the day today. First, as George Bernard Shaw said, all great truths begin as blasphemies. All great truths begin as blasphemies. So as you hear me on this show explain to you that your government hates you, white, black, young, old, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, they hate you. Then you'll come to realize that probably sooner rather than later. And Martin Luther King said to ignore evil is to become accomplice to it. To ignore evil is to become accomplice to it. Well, we're not ignoring it on the show today, are we? We're actually highlighting it quite a bit. I want to get into when I come back, I guess I'll have to flesh it out a little bit. I ran across a story. Let me see what the headline of the story was. You want to talk about clickbait for Mike Madison? It's elections won't fix this. If you've heard the opening to my show, I like the puppet on the right. I like the puppet on the left. Hey, there's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go to sleep. Your government is in charge. No, that's what it is. Elections won't fix anything, but you can strike a blow. That's the best you can do right now to gain a little bit of momentum. Going into what we're going to be seeing. Look, if you've got a Republican that's not explaining to you what inflation is, if you've got a Republican out there right now telling you it's Bidenflation, they're lying to you, because they do not want to accept responsibility for the fact that they have grown this government when they were in power, as well as sitting by when they were out of power. If you've got a Republican that calls it Bidenflation, they're just lying to you. They are pandering to you. They are preying on your ignorance. Drives me insane. I'm tired of seeing it, to be honest with you. Because, you know, my kids, my son's about to rent a new place down in Louisiana where he's in college. Rents are a little higher. The American people's ignorance and acquiescence to all of this stuff is what's costing my son money. And, you know how that works. By proximity, it costs his dad money, too. So as I watch people misdiagnose the problem, look for their political savior. We're going to talk about that again when we come back. You know, it does affect me. I try to keep my footprint as small as possible. try to engage in withdrawing my consent at every possible turn. But there's, you know, I can't suffer. I can't escape all the consequences of vast swaths of ignorance on both sides of the aisle that are swamping this country. So today you've got an opportunity. It's primary day. I'm going to go do my thing. If Michael Cassidy wins, I'm going to kind of have an unbroken record. It'll be two times I vote for somebody who actually goes to Congress, and then I'm going to hold his feet to the fire. Holy cow! I should have told him that yesterday when we were off air or on air. I don't fall in love with politicians, any of them. I'm always waiting to be betrayed. I'd like to see him get up there. See if he does something a little different. Break the establishment Republican stranglehold on Mississippi. But once he gets there, gloves are off. I'll watch every single move. Better watch himself. Be right back. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. You know, I was listening to the news break. I don't know if you caught that. I don't blame people who tune out the CBS news break. Look, we're under contract with these people. They gave us a crappy contract. It's just, we don't like them either. I feel like what I should probably do is pay more attention to the news breaks myself and just come and do a counterpoint to damn near everything that they say during their break. But it is not easy to find something that can just bring you kind of what headline news is. That's part of news talk radio, is letting people know what's going on. There's not very many choices out there for undisgusting media updates. If the media is doing it, you know it's bad. But on this latest break, I don't know if you heard Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley, that long-term conservative Republican up there, he's sending out warnings about domestic terror over the next 6 months or so. He says we need to make sure we protect our law enforcement, our military, and our government. This is Chuck Grassley, a Republican, calling to alert for domestic terrorism. And we got to make sure we protect the government. You people out there, you're out on your own. Good luck out there. But please, let's all rally to the cause of our government and make sure that our military, who protects the government, and our police force, which protects the government, are okay. You little people out there, fend for yourselves. Got to protect this government. That's one of your long-sitting Republicans there. I'm sure I get a ton of knocks. The guy's always going after the Republican Party. He barely ever talks about the Democrats. I know. You're exactly right. Look, you got 22 other hours a day to listen to how terrible the Democrats are. And if you haven't caught on by now, I don't know that I'm really going to help you. You've already figured out that con job. I'm trying to clue you into the other one. If your family belongs to two cults and you leave one, but you're still in another cult, I'm going to explain to you the problems with that cult. Chuck Grassley is one of these people. And I don't know if people are noticing this. What is up with these boomers and their failure to relinquish power? They cling to it for dear life. Look at some of the people in our country that are the most powerful right now. We have got a dementia patient whose political career should have sunsetted 15 years ago at a minimum, clinging to the last shred of mobility that he's got to become one of the most powerful people in the world. Of course, he's not as powerful as the Federal Reserve Chairman, but you know what I'm saying. Chuck Grassley, I don't know how long this guy has served. I mean, these people are dying in office. They will not allow another generation to come up. Now, I know a lot of people are not hip to younger generations. But I got to tell you, could they made a bigger mess than this group of baby boomers that will not let go, the Mitch McConnells? Hell, Henry Kissinger is still out there making pronouncements. He's 99 years old. Henry Kissinger is still kind of running the globe. Now, he actually made a comment that I agreed with. It took 99 years, but Henry Kissinger finally said something that was not drenched in the blood of innocence. He said that they should immediately seek peace with Russia, give away some Ukrainian territory, but these people will not let go of power. In Mississippi, Thad Cochran, I was having mental decline. For all of you out there judging Joe Biden, I'm right there with you, but we put up somebody who basically couldn't go out in public and talk for a period of time. And he won another election in Mississippi because a lot of the WGOP radio stations told you that Chris McDaniel just couldn't win a general election. What do you think about that now? The people who needed to hear that aren't hearing it because they're still listening to the WGOP radio stations. But anyway, these boomers, they will not let go of power. Holy cow. It's primary season, and I'm certainly going to bring this up. Donald Trump is out with a flurry of endorsements leading into these primary things. A Donald Trump endorsement is not worth a crap. Now, I don't mean to the candidate. It might help a candidate because there still are a lot of Trump fans out there. But because Donald Trump has absolutely no core values. Well, I take that back. He does have one core value. His one core value is if you kiss his butt, you get his endorsement. He just came out and endorsed Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy. I guess Kevin McCarthy has done the proper genuflection and telling Trump how smart and how great and how powerful he is, and he can't wait to see him again in 2024. But Kevin McCarthy is a swamp creature, just one of the smarmiest Republicans I've seen in quite a while. He will be your Speaker of the House because the fix is in there. He will get the gig if they win in the midterms. But Donald Trump feels the need to come out. He could just stay silent and let this swamp creature stay in Washington, D.C. I don't think he's in any danger of losing in a primary in California. But Trump has to come out and put an endorsement behind him. Donald Trump endorsed Trent Kelly, I saw. Now, I'm not really sure of Trent Kelly's entire voting record, but I do know he signed on to the $54 billion for Ukraine. I looked that up real quick before I came on the show. Donald Trump endorsed Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz. A lot of people talking about the guy with dual citizenship between here and Turkey. The guy who is basically a left of center moderate at best. Donald Trump put his name behind him, and now Mehmet Oz is poised to go to the Senate from the state of Pennsylvania. It is just really, it's gross to watch. Now, this story says that Trump's base is not happy with his endorsement of Kevin McCarthy, but most of the base's problems with that is the fact that Kevin McCarthy was, seen on or heard on videotape basically saying that it was Trump's fault after January 6th and he's going to call him and ask him to resign and these kinds of things. Or does it say here, Trump's imprimatur reportedly sparked ire from much of his base in large part because McCarthy had not expressed total devotion to the former president in the past. Well, I guess he's fixed that. Someone said, Trump endorsing Frank Luntz bunk buddy Kevin McCarthy instead of using his political capital to undermine bad GOP leadership is a sign that Trump has not learned much after all this time about who is and who is not America first. That was some right-wing writer, Pedro Gonzalez. Conservative radio talk show host Leo Terrell casted strong doubt over McCarthy's true allegiances, claiming that the representative, quote, does not want President Trump to win re-election in 2024. But Trump went out and endorsed him, too. Trump has absolutely no core beliefs, no beliefs in small, limited government, no beliefs in draining the swamp. He appointed the swamp. And I don't know, but I would imagine Michael Guest probably got an endorsement, too. I don't know if there's a pay-to-play for those things. I don't know if Trump's actually getting paid. I think it's more personal to Donald Trump. I think it's if he thinks you're sincere in kissing his butt, then he's for you. But if not, he's going to be against you. He'll call for you to be run out of the party. That's just really, really gross. And that brings me to this post, this story. And again, I am, because I'm about to bash elections in the first place, because they don't make any difference. I don't know if you've noticed over the last 30, 40 years that I've been paying attention for the last 25. The direction of the country does not change. Now, I say go to the polls today. I support Michael Cassidy and unseating an incumbent, Michael Guest. Nice guy. But the days have given these guys 16 years to disappoint us. I mean, how many times have I watched the Republicans say, well, it's because we're in the minority. We got to send them back there. Because when they get in the minority, they're going to repeal Obamacare. They pinky swear. You know, they don't even talk about that anymore. I guess we have moved on to so many worse things than the wholesale dismantling of our healthcare system and putting it almost firmly in the grips of the government of socialized medicine through Obamacare. Republicans don't even give it lip service anymore. So many new messes have been created that I guess Obamacare is just law of the land until we all die. And according to the Harari guy, that may be relatively soon. We have done this over and over where we say, well, yeah, but they weren't in the majority. But wait till we get the presidency, the House, and the Senate, Mike. That's what we're really working for. I'm going to vote hard for that. You get 2 years of Donald Trump, what'd you get? What did you get? Absolutely nothing. Now, I say go to the polls today and vote to send a message to the Republican Party. You don't get to pick our candidates any longer. And then I say, and I'll tell it to his face, hold Michael Cassidy's feet to the fire. If he does not perform, send him packing. I had him on the show yesterday for an hour. He's been all over WYAB. We appreciate him spending money to try to get his message out to our listeners. Our listeners are open to change, probably more than any other radio station, and I think that's why he picked us. He's been on other stations too, but he's done a lot of time on this. I say stick it in the eye of the Republican Party, but when he gets in office, he gets 2 years. He's on a 2-year lease every time. It's a renewable. I kind of think we should do this with marriage. I've said this for quite a while. Even before my divorce, you know, marriage should be, what, a 5 or maybe a 7-year contract. They talk about the 7-year itch. It's like a 7-year contract. You just look at each other. Maybe you negotiate something. You want to go for another round? I'd love to, but there are a few things about you that really bug the crap out of me. If you can work, you know, you just sit down back and forth. So let's try to keep the attorneys out of it. But you just sign another 7-year commitment. I'm not saying you can't ever break a contract. There might be some fees and fines, you know, within private contract, not by the government, but they're associated with breaking that contract. But, you know, if it's 7 years, if it's enough already and you just realize you weren't compatible, you just shake hands and you go, hey, yeah, 3 of those years were pretty good, and then you move on with your life. But anyway, these politicians, they should get one term, and then they're out. And we put somebody else in, and they get one term, and then they are out. Do you know the message that would send to politicians if we actually did that? Instead, we have Mississippi politicians that are sometimes almost literally on life support, that we send back up again because they have this, air quotes here in the studio, position of power. We got to send Thad Cochran back. He makes it rain here in Mississippi. He's the chair of the Appropriations Committee. You know, the power. He's the most powerful Republican on the Hill right now. We got to send him back. Well, how you like that now? Thad Cochran spent a ton of money, brought some of it back here to Mississippi. I'm sure there's some people who benefited. It wasn't me. Probably wasn't you, but some people voted for him. His donor class benefited from it. But now you're seeing the inflation from all of those bills that went across Thad Cochran's desk all those years, because inflation is not something that was just created in the past 12 months. This has been building in the system. It was bound to come, regardless of who the president was. It was coming. Just like the headlights down the road for all you deer in the street. We've been telling you it was coming. Long before I knew Joe Biden was going to be the president, I knew this inflation was coming. I've talked about it for 5 years. I talked about it probably before Trump got inaugurated. I came on January 3rd of 2017. I would imagine sometime between the 3rd of January and the 20th of January in 2017, I talked about the Federal Reserve, because that's what I do. And I warned you, all this money printing and zero interest rates was going to cause inflation, I bet before Trump even took office. But all those bills that crossed Thad Cochran's desk, where he made all these decisions about where all this federal money was going to go and all this freshly printed money was going to slosh around to, now you're paying the price back. Are you glad you sent him back for all those times? Because he had all that power. Anyway, I'm going to get to do this piece. It's a piece by Jeffrey Tucker. It's at the Brownstone Institute. And as I said, the title of the piece is Elections Won't Fix It. I agree. Be right back.
Went home with a waitress, the way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians too.
I would submit to you that libertarians are actually stronger proponents for the Second Amendment than most Republicans are, even if you're extremely conservative. Just as a group of people, you know, libertarians, I read you a tweet from the Libertarian Party yesterday where they said they wanted decriminalization of machine guns. I'm telling you, libertarians take their rights. They believe our rights are granted by God and the government really has no say in them. They can't just come in and take them. We don't exist by privileges. But I almost wish, I don't want to see this happen, but if they were to come out and do some level of, air quotes here in the studio, assault weapons ban, well, they took everybody's AR-15s, I'm almost curious to see exactly what would happen. Would Republicans finally say no? Would there be civil disobedience on the right? And I suspect there might be. I don't know how isolated or widespread it would be, but bottom line is, because I'm going to get into the story that elections will fix nothing. Ultimately, it is the people saying no. We're just done. We're not listening anymore. This is my tack. This is really what I want to do. It's impossible in practice. In theory, it's my happy place. I just don't comply with these things. It's kind of like during COVID lockdowns, when the government says you can't open your restaurant or you can only have 25% of the people, you just say, no, I've got a restaurant, put a lot of money into it. I want to serve people, and anybody who voluntarily wants to come in here and eat is going to come in. I'm not enforcing your 25% restriction. And then when the police come, you just close the door and say, you're not welcome here. I'm just running a business. There's nothing illegal I'm doing. Just because you guys have decided to freak out over a 99.9% survivable disease, that didn't really have any bearing on me. I'm a business owner. I'm providing a service to people who willingly are taking it. So just no. This is what should have happened during COVID. It should have been the big no. But everybody just genuflex this idea that, well, I mean, if politicians said it and the cops are out enforcing it, we don't dare say no because, you know, I don't want to be seen as being a troublemaker. Ultimately, civil disobedience is going to be where it goes. I'm telling you right now. We're going to have a financial crisis. The ruling class is going to freak out at how mad we are, and they are going to impose restrictions on you, on your movement, on your rights. And you're going to have to decide at that point if you're just going to go along because you don't want to be a troublemaker and you don't want to have to get crossways with the police who are sent out to enforce these edicts from these petty tyrants. That point is coming. Jeffrey Tucker said in the Brownstone Institute, he said, Americans have limitless faith in democracy. In the early 19th century, that charmed Alexis de Tocqueville. His book, Democracy in America, still rings true today because not much has changed. The entire country can be in ruins, and even then, most people figure that will all be improved or even solved come November. It's been going on for our entire history. As a people, we believe our elections are what keep the people and not the dictators in charge. He goes in to talk about the bureaucratic class that's actually in charge of our society right now. It's not politicians, and this is why he says elections will fix nothing. Jeffrey Tucker says, reading Scott Atlas's book, one comes away with a very strange picture of how Washington worked in the first year of the pandemic. Once Trump gave the green light to lockdowns, the permanent bureaucracy had all it needed. In fact, this happened even before Trump approved it. The Department of Health and Human Services had already released its lockdown blueprint on March 13th of 2020, a document which had already been in the weeks in the preparation. After the March 16th press conference, there was no going back. The deep state, by which I mean the permanent, non-appointed bureaucracy and the pressure groups to which it answers, was running the show. And this is what he goes on to just talk about, this bureaucratic class, that these are not elected people, but they are running things. So you can go out and you can vote for these people. He gets down into the Supreme Court. We'll defer to agency decisions, not the Constitution, not freedom. But what is the specific agency that has to do with one policy or another that's being challenged in front of them that they will err? And I think it was John Paul Stevens had written an opinion. The majority opinion in one case said that, you know, if Congress has not weighed in on something directly, specifically to the point brought to the court, then they will err on the side of whatever agency is in charge of that particular aspect of our lives. So go do your thing today. I really do mean it. I think it's time to poke your finger in the eye of establishment Republican Party. It's amazing to me. I travel in a bubble. the people that I know, the people that I hang out with, the people that I've gone to school board meetings with, the people that I play poker with. I mean, most everybody is sick of these politicians, but I always fail to understand the number of people out there that just swoon when a Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde Smith, Michael Guest walk into a room, because they smile at them and they shake their hands and they take a selfie and they think they're part of the club. I guess they're not paying the same prices at the pump you and I are paying. Maybe at the grocery store, they get a little wink at the cashier. Hey, I'm with Michael Guest. And I guess they get some kind of a discount at the grocery store. Or maybe they just haven't noticed that we're all in the same boat and these people are not touched by these things. Anyway, I believe going out and voting today is just it's a protest vote. It's one of the first ways you get to just go, no, no. And then tell Cassidy, hey, we're going to give you a shot, man. They're going to give you a shot. Now prove something to us, or we'll see you in 2 years on the other end of this thing. I'll be here at WYAB hawking somebody else if I see the empire growing. If I don't see someone taking on the Federal Reserve and pointing out what inflation is. I have a lot of expectations of any candidate. Everybody knows how I turned against Donald Trump during his presidency and continue to attack the man because he was so disappointing on the really big issues. But hold his feet to the fire. We're going to get into some, I do this little Tech Tuesday whenever something kind of crosses my stream of vision. And there were some kind of interesting technological things. One of them is to kind of go back to Poland. Poland has decided to do some of the green stuff themselves. Europe is in the throes of this green revolution that the technocrats and these bureaucrats are going to impose on all of us. And I told you, Poland is telling their people, you can go out and you can gather twigs for heat, only 7 centimeters, or was it 7 centimeters in girth? I guess they've got bureaucrats out there in Poland with a one of those material measure things you can kind of loop around. Bring me your twigs. Let me see. eight centimeter twig. Drop the twig or we'll haul you away in chains. But they've gone the green weenie way in Poland too. Tell you how they've been enforcing that in the first part of Tech Tuesday when I come back. Stick around. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. If you're listening on the podcast, you might not hear this, but the little break there, the conservative commentary break that we have was, what's that, Tommy Lahrgren? Is that how you say her name? Cute blonde, become kind of a conservative pundit or whatever. She was extolling the virtues of Ron DeSantis. Is it too early for me to start bashing Ron DeSantis or warning about Ron? Look, I'm a DeSantis fan. There's a lot of libertarians that have gone to visit with Ron DeSantis and have been very impressed with him, and he has taken some serious freedom stances in the state of Florida, but there's some signs there that he may not be everything, the whole bag of chips. He just signed the largest budget that Florida has ever had. That's not a good sign for a guy. Apparently he slashed off, made some news in conservative circles for slashing off something like $3 billion or $8 billion off a budget that it still ended up being $111 billion for the state of Florida. So I'm just saying, I think Ron DeSantis would be a much better choice for the Republican Party heading into 2024 rather than Donald Trump, unless you just really love to stir up as much animosity in the country as you can. But the idea is that Trump should step aside and be the kingmaker and let Ron DeSantis run for president, because I do believe Ron DeSantis have a better chance of winning. And I think he's a more adult choice. That's really going to anger some people. Sorry. But the idea now of Donald Trump being a kingmaker is I read off all of these endorsements that he's giving for Oz, Dr. Oz, for Kevin McCarthy, for some of these other swamp creatures and globalists. Trump is signing off on a bunch of globalists right now, so you better pay attention to who your kingmaker is making kings, because they're not the most impressive crowd from where I sit. Anyway, I wanted to get into a little bit of Tech Tuesday stuff. So Poland, you know, as I say, they're going down this green path, and they had banned early in 2019, just before the COVID lockdown crisis hit the world, the southern Polish city of Krakow introduced a ban on burning coal and wood in a campaign against smog. Krakow. I guess I know where they put people who break these rules. They got a big camp there for all the climate deniers in Poland, I guess. But introduced a ban on burning coal and wood in a campaign against smog. The move means residents face fines for using such fuel in their stoves, boilers, fireplaces, and even for cooking on stationary barbecues. Lighter portable barbecues are exempt. Inspectors, this is in Poland, this is how they monitor and keep compliance with their new green regulations there. Inspectors will monitor air pollution levels using a drone, thermal imaging camera, and a dust monitor. That's what the state news agency PAP reported. I got to tell you, it starts to feel a little bit like if anywhere in the world there was to be a revolution, I'm starting to wonder if that window has closed because, you know, I mean, the vast majority of people are out there broadcasting their grievances on social media, putting it in writing to be compiled in a giant NSA database. They're basically leaving breadcrumbs straight to your front door. And some of you have got a spy inside. You're using Alexa or what's the other one called? Google Creep or whatever it is. You brought these things in your home to actually listen to you. I got to tell you, you know, you can have a tough time getting the revolution together without being dispatched with rather quickly. Here is another thing on the green thing that we need to keep our eye on. I saw this, and boy, this sends up some big fat warning signs. This is a story in The Guardian, and they're talking about, we're talking about pollution and environment and all that stuff. Well, we know they're coming after the fossil fuels, but it could get worse for that. Even if you can afford the gasoline going forward, you still may not be able to get anywhere because they may be coming after this next. Almost 2,000 times more particle pollution is produced by tire wear than is pumped out of the exhaust of modern cars, tests have shown. It's interesting, you know, Guardian is an English publication. They said tire wear. They spelled tire, T-Y-R-E. I know those people are weird, but I'd never seen that before. But anyway, 2,000 times more particle pollution is produced by tire wear than is pumped out of the exhaust of modern cars, tests have shown. The tire particles pollute air, water, and soil and contain a wide range of toxic organic compounds, including known carcinogens, the analysis say, suggesting tire pollution could rapidly become a major issue for anyone, regulators. Air pollution causes millions of deaths, early deaths per year globally. The requirement for better filters has meant particle emissions from tailpipes in developed countries are now much lower in new cars, with those in Europe far below the legal limit. However, the increasing weight of cars means more particles are being thrown off by tires as they wear on the road. If you think you might need a set of tires in the next 10 years, you may want to go out and get them now. So they may be coming after the rubber that's hitting the road. I haven't paid any attention to tire prices with the increase in the cost of oil, but we know oil plays a significant role in rubber tires, and I can imagine the price of those things. They were already just incredibly high. Holy cow. Boy, I got some sticker shock a few years ago on an SUV. I hadn't had one for a while. I got another SUV, and I had to price four tires. Holy, I'd always kind of laughed when I saw the tire sales, and they would say things like, you know, 18 months, no interest, and I would kind of snicker. Who in the world is going to finance tires for 18 months? And then I went to go get four new tires for an SUV, and I suddenly understood why people might need to finance those. Here's another tech story with creepy implications. This is a story from Evanston, Illinois, on study finds a miniature robotic crab, tinier than a flea, has become the smallest ever remote-controlled robot. Measuring just half a millimeter wide, it can walk, bend, twist, turn, and even jump. Now, I would imagine if it can do all those things, it could also, anyone, see and listen. The remarkable record-breaking micro machine was developed by engineers at Northwestern University and comes in the form of a tiny peaky toe crab. The same team also developed millimeter-sized robots resembling inchworms, crickets, and beetles. Although the research is exploratory at the moment, they believe the technology might bring the field of robotics closer to realizing the micro-sized robots that can perform practical tasks inside tightly confined spaces, like your home, your car. I got to tell you, there's times when I'm parked somewhere or sitting at a traffic light, or I pull up and I park and I see a dragonfly comes and it's right in front of my windshield. You've seen how those things hover, right? I mean, they just stop on a dime and they just sit there and they stare at you for a second. I'm starting to be a little suspicious. Real or robotic? The researchers also produced a winged microchip last year that was the smallest ever human-made flying structure. Good. I mean, seriously. There, next time you sweep up, I may have to get a Roomba. I have to get a Roomba with some kind of electronics disruptor on it. Keep my place clean just in case. No, I'm not that paranoid. There's no tinfoil hat at the Madison household. But I got to tell you, as I said, the time for revolution is drawing closer and closer to being shut, I believe, as they get these things. Before you know it, you are going to open that door to go out to work, and that fly that flies into your house, it could just be from your ex-wife. These may just be tools of spying by exes. Who knows exactly who's going to use these things, but this miniaturization of robots I think it's something we can see some long-term consequences to. Next, we'll come up with what the computers are doing, the future of parenthood, and a new language that's being developed that is especially creepy. Be right back. All right, well, the final segment for the day today. We're doing a little bit of Tech Tuesday to look at, we talked earlier about a Harari guy who advises the World Economic Council. And he's seeing us as useless. They just don't know what to do with all of us useless people. Well, we may have some ideas here on Tech Tuesday, too. I'm noticing I'm pulling up some of these stories. The one I just read you about the tires, car tires being a problem for the environment. We're going to have to crack down. It's a big question for regulators, they say. That was from The Guardian. This next story is from The Daily Star in the UK. A lot coming from Britain. Boris Johnson, I don't know if anybody pays attention to international news at all. Boris Johnson, their air quotes here in the studio, conservative prime minister over in England, got in some trouble. He was caught partying and drinking heavily and having big gatherings during COVID when it was illegal for the little people to have gotten together. And it's fascinating to me. They held a no-confidence vote. I wish we had that here. Britain does do a few things I wish we did here. One is, if you ever watch British Parliament, they get to just interrupt each other and yell and groan and hiss and laugh. And it's totally disrespectful to the speaker. And I wish they would do that in our own Congress, because they all deserve a ton of disrespect. And it makes it for a little bit more lively, you know, like a tennis match. I mean, tennis is a great sport, but, you know, the fact you can't hoop and holler while they're, you know, these guys can dribble a basketball at full speed or a hockey puck down the ice to chants and people banging on glass and have to get that tiny puck in a tiny little crease and everything's fine. But a tennis player or a golfer, shh, 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 everyone's got to be quiet. Anyway, Boris Johnson was subject to a no-confidence vote, but he narrowly escaped it. They say it's wounded him politically, and they may end up removing him. Everybody's mad that he broke the rules and partied during COVID. I mean, that is a hell of a thing to me. Should they not be mad at the fact that he imposed the rules in the first place? I mean, Boris Johnson just stripped the English citizens of a ton of their rights. They went really bonkers over there in England. A lot of mandates in England. Didn't get in any trouble for that. He got in trouble for partying through it. Now, I think, hold him accountable for the hypocrisy. He should be thrown out on his can, no doubt about it. But if we held all of our elites accountable for not obeying the little people's laws, then they'd all be gone, which would be nice. It's kind of my happy place. But they don't get mad at him for just the dystopian society that England became during COVID. They're just mad that he actually partied through it. It's really very bizarre stuff. But the Daily Star in the UK had this story come out this past week. A popular AI, that's artificial intelligence tool, that turns text into images appears to be creating its own language of indecipherable gibberish and using it to categorize different pictures. Computer science PhD student, the DALL-E, DALL-E tool, which uses AI to generate images from text, is seemingly generating nonsense text when instructed to create images featuring printed words. Computer science PhD student Giannis Daris took to Twitter to share examples of the, quote, language, including phrases the AI had created to identify birds and insects. A Apoplo Verisotorius means birds, while Kantara, and you can't even pronounce these words, they're just a hodgepodge of letters, means insects. Daris claimed in the virtual thread that if you enter the gibberish words created by the AI back into the system, it will generate images linked to those phrases. So there's a comforting thought. The computers are creating their own language. They're going to be talking about us right to our face. We're going to have no idea what they're saying. This thing just gets further down in there. We discover that this produced text is not random, but rather reveals a hidden vocabulary that the model seems to have developed internally. This is why I could never have one of these cyborg girlfriends. You know, the last thing I need is to be, you know, embarrassed or humiliated by a robot, too. You want to be demeaned by a woman. It's at least nice to be flesh and blood. I don't need a robot woman making fun of me for anything. And there's this, my internet will unfreeze. And this is something kind of goes along, something we've been warning about for a while here. And this is, when it comes to the metaverse, I say, don't walk, run away. And they are talking, kind of posing this idea that there's a rise in the idea of raising children in the metaverse as a way to combat overpopulation. It says things like, there's no carbon footprint, and it doesn't cost very much to raise a child in the metaverse. Now, metaverse does accept cash, and I would imagine even if I had a child in the metaverse, it would still text me every couple of weeks and ask me for a couple of $100. My experience has been that in the real world anyway. This story from the Daily Mail UK, again, from England again, where they are chronicling our descent into this technocratic world. Virtual children that play with you, cuddle you, and even look like you will be commonplace in 50 years and could help combat overpopulation, an artificial intelligence expert has claimed. These computer-generated offspring will only exist in the immersive digital world known as the metaverse, which is accessed using virtual reality technology such as a headset to make the user feel as if they're face-to-face with that child. They'll cost next to nothing to bring up, as they will require minimal resources, according to Catriona Campbell, one of the UK's leading authorities on AI and emerging technologies. In her new book, AI by Design, A Plan for Living with Artificial Intelligence, she argues that concerns about overpopulation will prompt society to embrace digital children. She describes them as the Tagamagotchi generation. Is that little toy thing where you like raised a chicken or something? You had to feed it every now and then. It hung off your keychain. A reference to the handheld digital pets that became wildly popular among Western youngsters in the late 1990s and early 2000s. Virtual children may seem like a giant leap from where we are now, but within 50 years, technology will have advanced to such an extent that babies which exist in the metaverse are indistinct from those in the real world. As the metaverse evolves, I can see virtual children becoming an accepted and fully embraced part of society in much of the developed world. Ugh, this stuff is just wildly, wildly creepy. It's just yet another thing to draw a line in the sand and say no to. I saw some poster, somebody on Twitter, that said one of the most common questions they got, I can't remember, it might have been a professor, is people saying, what do I do? Can I possibly have children and bring them into this world with the climate crisis that we are facing? I mean, this stuff has become just like a cult to people. And this is certainly largely on the left. Again, they have been fear-mongered into believing you can't even have children, real children, anymore. Now, my understanding is the metaverse is powered by electricity. I don't know what the carbon footprint of a digital child, an AI-created child in the metaverse would be, but it's not nothing, and I can guarantee you it won't cost you nothing either. Facebook will be the daddy in that scenario, and you will pay child support to the keepers of the Facebook metaverse children. But it is this is some incredibly odd stuff. And they're going to use this idea of societal collapse to keep people from actually having children. And when you tie this back in, well, what a good tie-in for this show. You tie this back in to the fact that these people, these globalists, are looking at us and going, we don't really know what to do with all these meat puppets on this planet. They're no longer useful to fight our wars. We got robots for that now. We got autonomous drones flying around, bombing people. We don't need a pilot anymore. You're not useful for running the machines anymore. Robotics can take over most of those functions now. Once AI is functional, and you really won't even need a decision maker. Won't even need the management class. You white-collar people, you'll be out on your can too. And so once we have all of these things, you know, there's always disruptions, technological disruptions, and humans survive them. This one feels a little more dire. So I guess they're going to sit us all in virtual reality, and as I say, maybe we will all be used to power the Matrix. I'm fasting this week. I was trying to live a long time, but I'm starting to rethink that. Not sure what to do at this point. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter